Hi everyone, welcome or welcome back to my channel. It's your girl Ashlyn and I'm so happy to be back with a new video. I'm super excited because this is the first episode of my first visual podcast, Woman of My Word. And before we get started into today's video, the topic of today's episode, I just wanted to break down why I'm starting this new podcast and also what it means to me, and hopefully how it translates to you guys. So first and foremost, the Lord gave me this vision for this podcast a little while, like he's been giving me visions for a podcast for a long time. Oh my gosh, you guys, I forgot to tell you, I have my tea here with me and my favorite mug. The Lord has given me a vision to start a podcast for a while, probably about a little over a year now. And it wasn't until this year I was like, yeah, this is the year that I have to actually do it. Like, it's time to literally be a woman of my word. This podcast will be created for faith, lifestyle, and advice. I feel like we need women in faith who are actually talking about things that we struggle with every single day. And being a woman of your word also means being able to study the word, being able to break down the word, being able to also minister to others through what you are receiving from the word. And so I want to use this podcast, this visual podcast, to show you guys what I'm learning in my journey with Christ. So that's one reason why I decided to name it Woman of My Word. But another reason is because, too, I'm a journalism major and I love to talk. I love to have conversations. And so just as simple as that, I am a woman of words. I am a woman of a word. And I believe that God is going to use this platform for me to help launch some of the goals that I have as far as my field in journalism. And then lastly, woman of my word. Also, you may hear people talk a lot about, you know, oh yeah, she's a person of her word. And when people say that, usually that means, oh yeah, like when she says she does something, she's going to commit to it. She's going to follow through with it. And so another reason why I decided to name it Woman of My Word was simply because I knew that I struggled with committing to things. And I knew that I struggled with executing things. Like I could have a vision and not see it through. And so I think that the Lord was really pushing me into a season of saying, Ashlyn, like you have to set out to do what you are called to do. And so this is just one testament in that story and heading in the right direction of literally when I commit to something, going through with it and seeing it through until the end. And so, yeah, so welcome to the first episode of Woman of My Word. I'm so excited that you guys are going to be on this journey with me. But let's get into what we're going to talk about today. So first episode, we're going to talk about some things that I have learned in womanhood, some things that I have learned as I've joined the 20 club. So the first thing that I've learned is that I always have to be myself, regardless of where I am, what room I'm in, or who's around me. Growing up, I really struggled with being myself in different spaces. And I feel like this was a struggle for me because I knew that there were a lot of other girls who are talking about me. And I knew that some people didn't like the things that I had to say or just didn't like my personality in general, because I've always been a very bubbly, excited person, especially when it comes to things that I'm passionate about. Like I get really, really excited. So a lot of people couldn't handle that. And so I would tweak myself in different rooms and different spaces with different people because I felt like I wouldn't be socially accepted in the room. And so I would dim my light, and oftentimes when I dimmed my light, I shut my mouth. And because of that, I had gotten into the habit of believing that my opinion did not matter in the room. That even though I was among so many opinions and even opinions that I agreed with, I could not open my mouth to speak and say what I had to say. And so something that I've learned is that no matter where I am, I'm never going to dim my light. And I'm never going to shadow myself for the sake of others in the room so that other people can feel comfortable, because what I bring to the table is special and what I bring to the table is unique. And the light and the anointing that God has placed on my life is going to help minister to other people. So I can't dim my light, because it's really not even about me either. It's really about the ministry that is going forth and what God wants from his people. Another thing that I've learned is that closed mouths don't get fed, honey. I used to be just like that. Like, I actually used to be hush mouth. I used to be quiet about a lot of things. And I was like, you know, I'll just figure it out myself. Like, I'll just do it. Like, I'm just this strong, independent Black woman, which I am. And there's nothing wrong with being a strong, independent Black woman and also being able to reach out and ask for help, especially when you know that you need it. I think the strength of a woman is shown when they're able to identify when they're weak. Like, there's so many opportunities that are withheld from people just because they don't open their mouth to ask for it. Like, sometimes there are even things you may not even qualify for, but just because you opened your mouth to ask for it, it's already yours. And I just think that being able to say, hey, like, look, I need help, or even just saying, hey, like, I know that I may not qualify for this position right now, but I know that if I work a little hard, like, if I actually work hard and I show them who I am, then I know that I'll be able to even keep what I've asked for. So if you want something, ask for it. The third thing that I've learned about womanhood is that you should always, always, always be integral, because you just never know who is watching. Even when the doors are closed, even when nobody's around, it's important to even practice integrity when no one else is around, because if you're able to practice it in your solitude, then it no longer becomes practice in front of other people. It literally just becomes a lifestyle. My dad's a pastor, and this is something that he would say in his messages. Like, he would say, if your life was on a big screen for the entire world to see, how would you feel about that playback? Like, how would you feel about people watching what you do? Like, would you feel embarrassed if the whole world saw what you just did? Or would you feel inspired or enlightened that, you know, I kept true to not only my word, but God's word? Like, so that's something that I've always learned. You just really never know who's watching you either. Like, even in my work in journalism, like, I've learned that people are always watching me. Like, people are always watching. People are always listening to me, and people are waiting for you to mess up. And so the moment that an opportunity presents itself for you to be integral, you have to take it. That's just how the enemy works. Like, that's not even, like, I'm not trying to be pessimistic or anything. That's just the reality of life, especially when you are a Christian. You are put under a microscope 10 times more than other people. And don't even add being a student leader or being a leader of Christian orgs. It just adds on to the pressure. People are waiting for you to mess up. And so something I've learned is always be integral, even when nobody is watching. Make sure that you are doing your part to remain true to yourself and remain true to what God has told you. The next thing that I've learned is that no does not mean never. I've really had to learn that, because I used to think that God was, like, gypping me of opportunities. Because many people may not know this, but I have received so many no's. Like, I have been rejected from so many jobs. I have been rejected from so many internships. You wouldn't even believe that my first internship was last summer. Like, my first internship ever was last summer. And I worked at WEAA, and I thank God for WEAA, because they actually gave me an opportunity to show other people around me that I can do this, that I'm capable of doing this work. But before that, I had applied to so many internships that were so much bigger than me. And I would receive emails, and I had gotten so desensitized to rejection letters that it just became like a, oh, well, it is what it is type thing. But I had to learn too that no does not mean that this is never going to happen, or no does not mean that this is not your purpose or your calling. It just could be a thing that it's not God's timing for you at this moment. We have to understand that we can't open doors before God authorizes us to open them. Otherwise, you're going to experience a lot of no's. And so you have to be intentional about your preparation season. So even when you do get that no, what are you doing in your waiting season for you to get that yes? Like, after you receive that rejection letter, are you going to sit and you're going to cry about it? Or are you going to get up and you're going to figure out what you need to do to become a better person? And I think it's also important to ask questions. Like, if you do receive a no, it's okay to ask. Like, for example, if you get rejected from a job, it's okay to ask, you know, hey, what can I do better next time so that I'm able to land the job or get that position? And people are willing to help you, and they'll be able to point out things that maybe you're weak in so that you can be strong in them. The fifth thing that I've learned is that your voice matters, and that never, like, this kind of goes back to my point of, like, being yourself. Don't ever restrict your words for the sake of other people. Now, I'm not saying don't use discernment in how you phrase things or how you say things to people, because you always want to make sure that your tone is with grace and that whatever you say is also shown in love. Even in correction, it should be in love. Just because your opinion might be unpopular does not mean that you don't have a right to say it. When I was in high school, we did a Socratic seminar in one of my English classes, and I'm not going to lie, my delivery was not well, but what I was saying was truthful. And it wasn't received very well by my classmates. Like, everyone in the room began to attack me. And in that moment, I felt like, whoa, like, I never intended to hurt anyone in the room, or I never intended to rile people up. After that Socratic seminar, I have gotten so fearful of speaking in intimate settings and even publicly. Like, I had gotten so fearful, like, every time we had to do a Socratic seminar, like, my heart would literally drop. And I was like, I should not have this spirit of fear when I'm called to speak. Like, I'm called to impart wisdom. I'm called to publicly speak. This is my calling. I didn't know that at the time, but I had just gotten so fearful of what other people would think of me if I said something that maybe not everyone else agreed with. And I think that's the beauty in having an unpopular opinion. It's the fact that I don't have to think like everyone else. I don't have to be like everyone else for my voice to be heard. I think that it opens perspective and it opens people's mind to another possibility. And I think once you get into a mindset where it's like, okay, I'm a Christian and I know my value, I know who I am in Christ, other people's opinions don't matter. And I feel like you do have to work to get to that point, because I have worked to get to that point, and I'm at a place where, like, I will say what I need to say. I will say what I have to say, regardless of if it is not the most popular opinion in the room, and I stand beside what I say. But I just want to encourage you ladies out there to use your voice, because your voice matters, and that you have a purpose in the words that you speak, and that your words will impart wisdom, your words will plant seeds, and allow the Lord to use you. The sixth thing I've learned is release the feelings of wanting to always be perfect, because one, perfectionism is simply an illusion. And also understand too that, like, you have to have fault, because otherwise you're not going to learn. If you are a perfect person, and if you do everything right, there's not a thing in this world that you do wrong or you don't do well, then how can you possibly learn? Like, you honestly would live such a flat life. Like, you, because I think there's beauty in finding challenge and failing and coming back up from failure. It's like a mountain. Like, it literally, like, it goes like this. Like, you know, you could be doing so well, and then maybe there's a challenge that comes and it kind of tests you and it tries you a little bit. And you might waver just a little bit. You might get in your feelings, but it's like in that season of that plateau, when you are in your lowest point, when you are trying to figure out who you are again after your heightened level of success, you learn so much about yourself. And there's this strength that you begin to exude when you have gone through a thing. And I think that's such a beautiful thing, like the beauty in life. I think that's where the beauty in life resides, is being able to have failures and come back from them. So it's okay to mess up. It's okay to not get straight A's, because that was my issue. Like, you can't be so focused on the outcome of a thing that you miss the beauty in the process. And I think in that season, I was missing out on just being a college student, like just literally soaking in information and retaining it. I had just gotten to the habit of just doing my work to get the A, because I knew that I was going to get an A if I put my best and I put my all in it. I knew that I was going to get an A. It was like, Ashlyn, were you actually learning in that season? Like, were you actually retaining any information? No. Number seven is boundaries are your best friend. And I say this because I'm even still learning how to set boundaries for myself. But before, there was a time where I would just say, yes, whatever you need, yes, I will be there despite how much this affects my schedule, despite how much I have to move around in order for my yes to be valid. Like, I literally had no boundaries. Everyone had access to me. Anyone could be my friend. If you ask me to do anything, don't worry, I'm there. I'm dropping everything for this. And it became so toxic because it weighed on my body physically. It weighed on my body emotionally and mentally, because I felt like everyone was reaching out to me, but I wasn't being poured back into. Like, I was pouring my all into organizations, into church, into family, into friends, and I wasn't really getting all of that reciprocated. So at the end of my day, I would feel so depleted. And it wasn't because I didn't feel like I did well in whatever I was doing. It was just because I was literally exhausted from carrying the weight of everyone else's problems and everyone else's situation on my shoulders. And never taking the time to realize, Ashlyn, you have your own problems that you have to work through. And another thing is, I can get in the habit of becoming a workaholic and working all the time and never taking time for myself and never realizing that, like, self-care is actually super important. Number eight, never be afraid to let go of friends. I just never really liked change growing up. Like, as a kid, I didn't like change. I was very complacent. I was comfortable where I was. And I was comfortable with the friends that I had. I was comfortable with my family members. So when things changed, or when I lost those friends, I had to do some soul searching and figure out who I was again, because I had gotten so comfortable where I was. But it's okay to be in a season of transition and not carry those people with you. That's okay, because not everybody can go where you're going. And another thing that I've learned too is, you have to be okay with letting go of things that aren't for you. You have to be okay with letting go of friendships that are seemingly good for you, but you know in the back of your mind, this friend is really not my friend. It could be hard to even have to tell yourself, like, this person doesn't have your best interests at heart. But in the long run, when you release those friendships and those binds that aren't good for you, the Lord will replace and He'll replenish whatever you lose, and He will make sure that He puts people in your life that are going to help uplift you. The ninth thing I've learned is to pray, and have faith. I'm going to say that again. Pray, and have faith. Prayer is so important, you guys. Like, I don't even think people understand how important prayer is. Like, and I know I'm still, like, in my season of making sure that I make time to pray and just worship too, because, and also understanding, like, the different forms of prayer, because prayer doesn't always have to be, Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for waking me up. Lord, I thank you for just being who you are. No, prayer can literally be through song. That's something that I've learned. That's like my conversation to the Lord. Like, those are, like, that's the utterance that I have. When I'm talking to him, I can literally go into worship and be like, Jesus. Instantly, I just feel his presence, and like, I feel that he's answered my prayer. I can feel his peace saturate me. And that's a form of prayer. Like, that is literally just a conversation with the Lord, because even the things that we can't utter with our mouth or we can't articulate to him, just the song and our worship shows him how we are feeling. I think something that I've learned is that once you say the prayer, you literally have to believe that the Lord has heard that prayer. And once you start believing, you have to release it. You literally just have to let it go and say, Lord, I've already prayed it. You've already heard my heart. And so now I'm going to trust and believe, and I'm going to do what I need to do on my end in the natural to make sure that my prayer gets answered. Like, I know I talk a lot about college and everything, but that's the season of my life that I'm in. This semester, I had a remaining balance on my bill. It was like, I think, $2,500. And I was literally worried. I was like, Lord, I don't know how this is going to get paid for, because like, I have a job, but I also have so many other expenses that I have to pay for. Like, I have so many other things that I need to do. Like, my money needs to be going into my savings so that I'm at least a little bit financially stable when I graduate. So that I had so many worries and so many thoughts in my head. And I prayed to the Lord, and I was like, Lord Jesus, I'm going to give this to you, God. I'm asking that you would just cover my finances. You would cover my situation, God. You know what I can and cannot do, Father. And so I'm asking that you would fill in the gap and you would provide the need. And so I prayed that prayer, y'all. And literally, I was like, okay, Lord, I'm done. Like, I'm not going to worry about it anymore. I kept going to class. I kept eating. I went to the bursar's office and I told them my situation. And, you know, I got what I needed to get done. And so I came back from the bursar's office and I was like, you know, I'm just going to continue living my life. And I did. And then I got paid for the first time that semester. And I was like, I heard a voice just say, Ashley, don't pay, because I was going to pay for my bill. And he told me no. He said, don't pay for it. I got it. And I trusted that voice. I trusted him. And I said, okay, Jesus. I paid my tithes. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm listening to you. And don't you know, literally weeks ago, someone had sent me an email that basically said my bill was paid. Praises be unto God. And you know why that happened? It's because I prayed. I had faith and I literally released it and I allowed the Lord to work. I did everything that I could in the natural. And so the Lord honored my portion and he literally did it for me. So it's just really important to walk through life and always have a strong prayer life and really, really big faith, because that will get you through a lot of situations. And don't worry. Don't worry. Just continue to pray and have faith. Those are some of the things that I've learned in my adulthood. And I hope that my stories, and I hope that this ministers to you in a way. And I hope that you even feel empowered or inspired, enlightened to just go through life and just understand that everything really is a lesson, and that not every hardship is bad. Sometimes hardship is there to really teach you, to prune you. And your testimony is going to minister to so many other people's, and it's going to draw other people to Christ. So always keep that in the forefront of your mind that yes, this is a test and this is for me, but it could also be for somebody else, somebody else's deliverance. And yeah, so that pretty much sums up this video. Thank you guys so much for watching. Thank you for tuning in. I hope to see you all in the next episode of Woman of My Word. And I will see you all next time. Bye.